Welcome to episode 47 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Thursday, October 8th, 2020. The title of this episode is Meeting Our Daily Recommended Nutritional Guidelines is Very Difficult. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about some of the nutritional guidelines that are probably not going to be met by most people with a typical American diet, at least, and what we can do about trying to reach those goals without taking a whole bunch of supplements or eating excessively in any particular food category. So here's the quick summary for those of you on a tight time schedule. What I will be covering in more detail in this podcast episode are the different vitamins, minerals, and nutritional compounds, I guess you could call them, that are sort of necessary in the diet and not being adequately met in most people's daily eating. So the ones that would come to mind, obviously, would be probably protein, fiber, potassium, magnesium, vitamin D. Those would be just a few. And really, this is not about itemizing every single vitamin and mineral that we have to have or supplements you should be taking, but this is about a mindset to get you inspired and to get you started on like going down this trail of figuring out what are the nutritional requirements, what are the foods you normally eat. So, you know, there is no one answer that one can put in a podcast. It's going to be different for everybody. But what's your typical diet? And then what is likely to be lacking based on that diet? So the very first item I'll be covering is fiber and talking about why, you know, so many of us do not get enough of that. And also how product packaging and advertising is a little bit misleading as well. So really, if you had to have a takeaway at the very beginning of the podcast, the takeaway is step one, go do a little bit of research on what the daily recommended allowances are for different vitamins, minerals, as well as things like fiber. And then step two is, and this is what I've done, is you go through, you could walk through the grocery store doing this research, or you could do it online. But you find out what foods are high in these items that are really lacking in most other foods. So basically, using fiber as an example, even in these like high fiber fruit bars or, you know, high fiber cereals and that type of thing, you might get 4 or 5 grams of fiber. That's considered to be a lot. But what you really need to get is like 8 or 9 grams of fiber in each meal, about 30 grams of fiber per day. And you don't want to eat, like I did the calculation, you could have an entire box of Kellogg's Corn Flakes and that would only barely meet the allowance. You know what I'm saying? So you've got to be really smart about what food you're eating, because otherwise you're not going to be meeting those requirements and you're going to be getting a lot more sugar or fat or cholesterol or whatever that you don't need, and essentially end up malnourished, but perhaps overweight and unhealthy. But that's it. So find those foods. And here's the problem with online research. Let's just take something like nuts, for example. You might read online, oh, almonds have a lot of magnesium, or peanuts or cashews can be very high in various minerals. Well, then you go stop at a gas station, convenience store, you grab a pack of, you know, or a little container of nuts, and you look on the bag and it says, you know, magnesium zero and zinc zero or whatever the other minerals would be that should be in these nuts. Well, here's the deal. Not all products have equal nutritional value. Some are really poor in their nutritional value. So really, it's maybe a helpful guideline to do some online research, but eventually you've got to go into the grocery store, pick up every single can of nuts, One of them is going to have 35% of your magnesium for a day. Another, you know, could be looking at cashews or peanuts or almonds or pistachios. But another might have 5% or zero. So that's what you kind of have to do. Step one, figure out what you need. Step two, figure out which foods and specifically which brands have that high nutritional value. Okay, so for those of you who are going to be departing this episode after the overview intro, thanks for tuning in again, and I hope you have a great day. For those of you who are hanging on and staying for a little more detail, let's go ahead and dive in. And let me say, I know that for myself and for others, people have been researching this for decades. You know, what are the superfoods? What are the foods that are high in certain nutrients? And there are lists online, so you can find lists of superfoods. And that's a good place to start. You know, if there are a dozen foods that are really, really high in certain things that we need in our diet, we might as well be trying to include those things in what we're eating every day. But you'll want to kind of develop your own list based on what your preferences are, what your food choices would be, and also based on what's easily available and not too expensive. So let's start with fiber. Like most people, I go in and have annual blood work done, typical panel of blood tests for cholesterol and things like that. And so I'm always wanting to do what I can to get my cholesterol down, as most people, I guess, are trying to do. And so one of the things a person can do is have the right kind of oils, you know, olive oil, fish oil, sunflower seed, avocado oil is popular these days to be cooking with. So you can include those in your diet. And the other thing is fiber, particularly soluble fiber. So when you see that your favorite wheat cereal has lots of fiber in it, that may not be soluble fiber, that might be insoluble fiber, which is still helpful for digestion and such, but it's not going to have the kind of fiber that's going to lower your triglycerides. So I recently began looking around to see what options there were for good sources of fiber. And what kind of inspired this was I was visiting somebody recently who was eating some cereal. They were eating like Wheat Chex. And I took a look at the box and I saw it was pretty high in fiber. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I could be eating Wheat Chex once a day, you know, but I wanted to do more research. I've been avoiding breads, grains, cereals, granolas, just because they're so high in carbs. And I'm trying to kind of be on a low carb diet. So most of these products that would be high in fiber, I'm not eating. And it's because I want to keep the carbs down, the sugars down, keep my, you know, blood sugar levels healthy. And overeating on the carbs and what are almost like snack foods is just not really necessary in general. But I've been wanting to get more fiber because getting the right kind of fiber, soluble fiber, is helpful to bring down triglycerides. Getting the insoluble fiber is helpful for the body's full digestive process. So both of those fibers are good, but something like, you know, wheat products tend to be high in insoluble fiber, whereas oats, oatmeal and that type of thing would be high in soluble fiber. You want a little bit of both. And it's probably easier to get insoluble fiber because it shows up in more things. So you have to do a little research to get soluble fiber. The first place I started looking to find good sources of fiber was with breakfast cereals. And you see on breakfast cereal boxes, it'll say, you know, good source of fiber. And I would look on the box and it would say something like 3 grams of fiber or maybe 4 grams of fiber. And after much searching, I found a cereal that had 5 grams of fiber. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. But I would need to have, you know, like 6 servings of that to get a day's worth of fiber. So I kept searching and I found that legumes and beans are high in fiber. Some would have for a serving, maybe 5 grams, but others would have 6 or 7 grams. I finally found a couple of brands of black beans that are in a light chili sauce, and those have 9 grams of fiber. And the goal here is to, you know, rather than eating 6 bowls of cereal a day, would be to have maybe a relatively small, you know, can of beans. And that would be really just like a maybe 2 or 3 dollops from a large spoon on a plate. So we're not talking about eating a lot of quantity. It's relatively low in calories. And that satisfies the fiber requirement for the day. And it includes soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. So there is an example, perfect example, where there's this pretty high bar to reach that if you're not eating smart, you're going to end up eating a whole box of cornflakes to get your fiber. But if you take some time to search around, you'll find that this relatively inexpensive, low-calorie can of beans has all the fiber you need. And you can move on from one nutritional item to the next and do the same process. So the next one would be potassium. And if you look it up on the internet, you search for what foods are high in potassium, you know, bananas will be listed. That's the one that kind of comes to mind, right? Bananas are high in potassium. They have about, I think you'd need like 10 bananas to meet your potassium requirement for the day. So even though there are a lot of these foods out there that are well known for being high in some nutrient, when it really comes down to it, you start looking at how many servings would you need to have, it's not going to get you there. So I did some research regarding potassium, and I wanted to find something that's inexpensive, easy to buy, enjoyable to consume, or at least not unpleasant, and not super high in calories or sugar. So I found this juice. There's one actually available at Starbucks from Evolution Fresh. It's a cold-pressed green drink. It's not the one with a lot of sweet fruit juices in it that has, you know, a lot of sugar and a lot of calories. It's not that one. It's the other one that has more like celery and spinach and kale and all of that. But anyway, this little bottle from Starbucks, it has like 600, 700 milligrams of potassium. But you'd still need like quite a few of those to get your daily requirement. And then there is a bottle of juice that you can get from Trader Joe's. And it's very similar, also very high in potassium. And if you drink that bottle, it looks like it's about a quart size. But if you go through that bottle, you'll come pretty close to meeting your potassium requirement. And that juice and that sort of genre of juice, you know, the sort of green juice that's not intending to have a lot of pineapple juice to sweeten it up or grape juice or something. It's fairly low in carbs, these green drinks. They are probably the highest easily attainable potassium source. Now, a person could probably find supplements for some of these things, but let me read to you, going back to fiber, and this applies to other nutrients as well. This is what the American Heart Association has to say about fiber, okay? And I'll quote, "The American Heart Association eating plan suggests eating a variety of food fiber sources. Total dietary fiber intake should be 25 to 30 grams a day from food, not supplements." And the reason we would say not supplements is that to ensure proper processing and absorption and what have you, and to ensure that nutrients are spread out throughout the day, not just all in one pill that goes through you quickly, having real food sources for your nutrients is a real advantage, because sometimes there are other nutrients that interact in a positive way and support each other for absorption and other reasons. So that's why the American Heart Association and others would recommend that, if at all possible, get your nutrients from food sources rather than pill sources. And one never knows really how well pill-based nutrients are absorbed and utilized by the body. But this is basically the message then of today's podcast. And I need not go on longer. I could, but the general rule is to find what are these key areas where we're likely to have a deficiency, where the foods we're eating are not having that nutrient in abundance, and then go out and find some good sources of that. It helps to have a little bit of mixing up options, have some diversity in your daily, weekly food plan, so you don't get bored of having the same food. But that can also be a benefit if you're finding foods that are really high in the nutrients you need. You won't need to eat a lot of those. Like these black beans that I finally found. If I was trying to get my fiber, again, the example of the cornflakes, if I was trying to get my fiber from cornflakes and eating a box of cornflakes every day, that would get tiring pretty soon. But if I'm going with something like these black beans, where all I need is like a few spoonfuls on my plate, well then, yeah, that's not going to be a problem. I'm not going to get tired of that. I'll barely notice that. And the same is true for this green drink, the one from Trader Joe's. I will have about, oh, maybe 4 or 5 swallows of that at just like as a snack. And pretty soon, by the end of the day, I've gone through a bottle. It's tasty anyway, so, you know, I wouldn't mind drinking a whole bottle in one sitting, but I think the absorption's better. And this particular drink from Trader Joe's has, I'm probably not going to remember it correctly, but I think it's like celery and spinach and kale and cucumber and, oh, there's green tea in there and mint. And so I think it's organic. So it's like really healthy stuff, raw stuff, cold pressed, super bioavailability. Why not? And there's then, this is the other thing is, it's a tip of the iceberg phenomenon. So the potassium in that green drink, that's the tip of the iceberg. That's the thing you see. That's the reason you're drinking it. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's beneficial inside there. And by seeking out some of these superfoods and incorporating them into your daily and weekly routine, you'll be getting this benefit of the, you know, what's under the tip of the iceberg, which would be a lot of other beneficial nutrients. Years ago, I was having a conversation with a doctor about vitamin D, and my blood work showed that I was deficient in vitamin D. The doctor told me that many hundreds of people have the same issue who live in sort of the Midwest and the, northern states, because there's not as much sunlight throughout the year. During the summer, it's fine, but not as much sunlight in the winter months. And even during the summer months, most people are trained to wear some sort of hat and long sleeve covering to protect the skin from too much sun exposure. So apparently this is just a typical problem. And so many doctors will recommend a vitamin D supplement to correct for that issue. And there are a lot of problems that can develop as a result of a vitamin D deficiency. That's probably a category of nutrient where it may not be easy to find that in a lot of food sources, so you may want to take a supplement. And for people that are not able to consistently have, you know, 2 pounds of kale every day or whatever the case may be for certain nutrients, taking supplements can help fill in the gaps so that you don't have any nutritional need slip through the cracks and not get addressed. But in general, you're going to want to find foods that are covering your needs that way. Probiotics or prebiotics. There are other words for them, but these have become more popular recently. And if you drink kombucha or you have yogurt every day, if there are ways that you can get lots of healthy bacteria and other things to build up your internal digestive system, those can be super beneficial as well. So there's an example where it's not necessarily a vitamin or a mineral, but it's something that is beneficial, and you don't necessarily need a superfood to get that. You can just have some yogurt or some other food that's high in those factors. Well, thanks for taking time to listen to this episode. I appreciate all the comments and follows, the subscribers, the shares, and positive feedback. And I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.